Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome back to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back live in the studio talking both local and national, and that's what's on tap today. We've got to talk high school basketball. Not a lot going on around this time of the year. You know, starting Monday, we dive in what really is the winter sports season from here on out. I mean, December, or January rather, until the end of February. Boy, it's something every night. But we do have a game tomorrow. The Emory Spartan boys team, they'll make their return to the court. They'll take on Manti on the road. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus will join us on the show today. We'll talk about that. Also, we've got to talk football. We typically save Tuesdays for NFL talk, and there's some very fun scenarios popping up this Sunday. Which teams are going to get into the postseason? We know in the AFC, for the most part, it's set, although we have a few teams competing for three playoff spots. Right now, Indianapolis would be on the outside looking in. They could still win their division. And it's also possible that a team with 11 wins could not get in. Crazy to think about. That's in the AFC. In the NFC, it's down to three teams for two spots. The Rams, Cardinals, Bears. Rams and Cardinals will play one another. The Bears have to take on the Green Bay Packers, who look fantastic. And if you're a Bears fan, it's simple. You win, you're going to get in. If you lose, well, you have to hope for the Rams to get a victory, and then you can get in. But that path, it gets a little bit more difficult by the day. Some news that broke earlier. The Rams have placed Cooper Kupp on the COVID-19 IR. Terrible news for the Rams. They're now down Jared Goff. They're down Cooper Kupp, who is one of the best route runners in all of football. And it's a team that has lost their last two games. Doubtful is Cam Akers, their rookie running back. Out is Daryl Henderson, their second string back. I don't know where the offense is going to come from. Does this help Arizona's chances? And here's the thing, the Rams could lose, and if the Packers beat the Bears, the Rams still get in. So there's a lot that's up in the air. We will talk NFL. That's coming up in just a moment. Some other news coming out of the NFL today. Ben Roethlisberger will sit out the final game of the year against the Cleveland Browns. It's a big one for Cleveland. Mason Rudolph will get the start. That news broke a little bit earlier today. We do have college football going on right now, and it was one of the more interesting games as far as the regular bowls are concerned. Oklahoma State, Miami, and the Cheez-It Bowl. Oklahoma State up in this one early, 7-0. That's in the first quarter. We'll try to keep you updated on this game throughout the day. But there's so much to get into. I want to cut the intro a tad bit short. Before we do that, we have to look at the schedule in the NBA. It was just a short slate last night. We did have a thriller, though, as the Utah Jazz managed to rally and pick up a one-point win. Here's what we have on tap in the NBA tonight. A lot of games in the 5 o'clock hour. The Knicks on the road taking on the Cavaliers. We have the Warriors at the Pistons. The Pacers will play host to the Boston Celtics. We get Toronto at Philadelphia, and then Chicago at Washington. At 5:30 on national TV, TNT, Milwaukee will take on Miami. That's a potential Eastern Conference championship showdown. We get the Magic and the Thunder at 8 o'clock tonight. Pelicans-Suns. That's at 8 on TNT, second game of that doubleheader. Minnesota will travel to meet the Clippers at 8 p.m., and then we have the Nuggets and the Kings also at 8. The Jazz will get tonight off. They'll also get tomorrow off. We won't see the Jazz again until Thursday night when they take on the Phoenix Suns here on KOAL. Great show lined up, a lot to get into, heavy focus on the NFL, but the local sports front will be featured heavily next. We'll be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. We'll talk about tomorrow night's game of the Christmas break. That's all straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports.
A what you're listening to.
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk high school basketball. Tomorrow night, the Emory Spartan Boys Squad. And they'll make the return to KOAL, travel on the road to take on the Manti Templars. A lot of history between these two teams. Of course, everyone here locally vividly remembers that state championship game a few years back. Always a tough task when you take on Manti. Emory will enter this game 2-4, looking to bounce a three-game losing skid. And joining us right now to talk about that, we have head coach Jeff Cincinnatus over the phone. And coach, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time again. Thank you.
Good to be back on, Jordan. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. And, yeah, it's time to get back playing some basketball.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. We had that little break. We'll get one game, and then it's about 9 days off before we touch the court once again, if I'm not mistaken, Coach. I mean, all in all, a lot of dead time, but I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing considering there wasn't much of an offseason. I'm sure it's given you a chance to work with these kids a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having, you know, some practice time. We have a ton of things that we need to work on that we didn't get a chance to. You know, we had a couple practices before we even played our first game, and that was it. And so, you know, having some downtime right now, even though we've played games, I think it's almost even better because it gives us an opportunity to see what we really need to work on. I mean, we've had, you know, six games so far, and so we know there's some things there that we can brush up on and get better. And plus, we're still trying to put in new stuff. So, you know, we'll get this game tomorrow with Manti. And then, like you said, you know, a nine-day break. I mean, we'll still have some moratorium time in there with the new year. But, you know, I expect at least four or five really good practices where we can put in some new stuff and then work on the, you know, stuff that we really need to work on right now to get better.
Well, Coach, we can start by talking about what went down last week. One game, it was against North St. Pete. This one on the road, it did not play out in our favor at all. And I know that the team was a little down. No Trevin Brazier, no Kyson Curtis. A rough first half. You guys managed to turn things around in the second half, but by that point it was too little too late. How did you assess the game against North St. Pete?
Well, I thought we come out extremely flat. Our defense was not good. The effort was not good. We were coming off a sophomore loss and a JV loss where our JV really got kind of just taken to and you know, was overwhelmed. And, you know, so I wasn't particularly happy even to start the varsity game with the effort we were given. It kind of carried over into our varsity, and it was a struggle. And Sam Pete played extremely well. I've got quite a few friends from over there, and I had three or four of them tell me that was the best they had seen Sam Pete play so far this year, which, you know, that's great. I mean, they're a good team. They shot the ball well. They've got size, and I think they're going to be a solid team as the year moves forward, but definitely not a team that we should lose to by 20-some points. We put ourselves in a hole, you know, 16 in the first quarter, another 10 in the hole in the second quarter, down 26 at half. You know, we did outplay them in the second half. I mean, I went in at halftime, and I kind of just laid it on the line and said, you know, we are never going to quit. Our effort needs to get better. I thought the guys went out in the second half and played with a ton more energy. And had we played with that effort and energy, even without, you know, Trevin and Kyson that night, I still think we had given ourselves a chance to win. We just didn't open the game with that energy and effort. And you know, I mean, take it as me as a coach. I mean, it's my job to get my team ready to play. And, you know, I've learned a few early timeouts just trying to figure out why are we not playing with energy. And unfortunately, it was one of those nights where, you know, there wasn't really a lot to even learn because, you know, we just didn't even give ourselves a chance to do much in the first half. But, you know, again, this team, and I'll say it again, they don't quit, and they play extremely hard. We've got to learn how to play four quarters extremely hard. Right now we're struggling with that, but this team's never going to quit. We've given ourselves a chance, you know, a couple weeks ago at South Summit being down in the fourth quarter and coming back, and I'm really impressed with our effort. When our back's against the wall, it's just that we've got to start coming out and having that same intensity to start a basketball game, and I think that's my job to make sure that we do that.
Offensively, Coach, there are limitations to this team. I mean, defensively, I believe that this team can hang with the best. It's all about effort on the defensive end of the ball. I don't think there's any question. Offensively, at times, though, this team does go a little bit stale. And I'm sure from a coaching perspective, that's probably been one of the most difficult challenges for you to attack, I would assume, so far this season.
It has, Jordan. And you know, and there's been times when our defensive effort is not great, and that really puts us in a hole because we do struggle, you know, on the offensive side of the basketball. You know, we've got a lot of great talent that we just need to learn how to work together with, and I really truly believe that once this group learns how to use everybody that's on the floor and work together, that will be extremely hard to stop because we have a lot of guys that can put the ball in the hole. But right now we're just not getting everybody involved, and you know, we struggle being a one or two or three man basketball team out there, and it's not what I want. But if, you know, we can get all five guys involved in our offense and contributing, we'll be extremely hard to handle as the year moves forward. But offensively, especially that night, missing Trevin, I mean, he's one of our best playmakers. He can create his own shot, leading us in 3-point shooting and scoring. So, you know, you take a guy like that out of your lineup, and you're going to struggle no matter what. And then with not having the defensive effort to start the game, it really put us in a hole. But, you know, I talked to the boys last night. I sat down with each senior, and we discussed some things. This is their team, and I know I'm a new coach, but they've been there for 4 years, and this is their year. And I really want them to understand that, you know, if we'll just do some of these little things and learn some stuff and work together, that they're unstoppable. And especially we've discussed it, you know, Class 3A this year, I don't see a clear-cut, you know, team that's just unbeatable. Everybody is pretty solid, and on any given night can win or lose. And, you know, I'm trying to make my team understand that on any given night we can beat anyone or we can lose to anyone. And we just can't lose to those teams that, you know, that we should be beating. And I have confidence that we're going to bounce back. Like I said, tomorrow night's an extremely tough game. Manti is such a quality program, you know, coming off the state championship again last year. They just reload every year. I watch film on them. They're extremely talented again with shooting the basketball. I think they hit 16 threes the other night. You know, we're going to have to play solid defense and get up and down the floor, and we're going to have to put the ball in the hole tomorrow. We're going to be in a hole to start the game again if we don't put the ball in the hole, because Manti is definitely going to score the basketball. And, you know, I've tried to tell my team, when you go on the road, you got to have the mentality that you're already down 10-0 before the game starts. I mean, it's an advantage to play in at home, and a good team like Manti, I mean, you're going to have to dig yourself out. So we need that effort that we're already down 10 to start the game tomorrow night. If we give good effort and we can put the ball in the hole, I think we're going to have a pretty good basketball game tomorrow, and I'm just excited to get back out and get playing.
Again, our guest right now was Coach Jeff Cincinnurus of the Emory Sport and Basketball Team. Coach, as we head into January, it really is go time. And I know there's been it's so different. It's so out of character from any season that I've ever been through as far as high school basketball is concerned. And just getting into the rhythm of a broadcast, I can't imagine what it's like as far as a coach and for players. But as we go into January, it's time for region basketball. And I know everything counts as far as the RPI is concerned. But with you being a first-year head coach and with region play being upon us, are you happy with where the team is at right now?
No, I'm not happy with where we're at. And, you know, I think as a coach, you're never happy until you hoist that state championship trophy. I mean, you're always wanting to be better and do things. And obviously, we have a lot of work. I mean, being 2-4 is not where I've seen us, you know, after our first six games. You know, I looked at our schedule, and I knew Juan Diego was going to be an extremely rough team for us. And, you know, that's one of those games where I'm saying, you know, it can go either way. But the rest of the games on our schedule up to this point, you know, I thought were extremely winnable games for us and ones that I anticipated we'd win, especially if we played well. But, you know, we didn't. And we're 2-4, and we have work to do. But like you said, Legion is getting ready to start. So, I mean, everybody's, you know, 0-0 right now. And we're going to have our first two Legion games at home, which is so important. We get Richfield to start and Carbon after that. And have your first two games at home in this region means you need to be 2-0 after those two games, because winning at home is going to be so important with how closely competitive our region is this year. And then trying to steal a game or two on the road is going to mean who's a region champ and who's not. And so we've got work to do before, you know, January 8th or whatever it is when we open up with Richfield at home for region. But I'm excited about our ability to get better. You know, I'm not looking at a team and it's just like, you know, there's just no way we can get better and we're not going to beat these teams. We have tons of room for improvement, and I believe these guys are going to improve and continue to improve, you know, over the next month or two. And I'm happy I'm happy with a lot of things, but, you know, also disappointed that we're not quite where I wanted us to be at this point in time in the season. But, you know, we're working hard for it every day. And today's going to be another day of good practice, I hope, getting ready to play tomorrow. We've got stuff that we're working on every day and putting new stuff in. So, you know, overall, I'm not pleased. I'm pleased with a lot of things, but overall, I'm not happy with where we're at.
And again, going back to it, I would assume that only having six games before you prepare for a region probably has a lot to do with that as far as a comfort level is concerned on all angles, not just from a coaching staff standpoint, but a player standpoint as well.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you're used to probably having 10 games at least before you step into region play, and it gives you a chance to evaluate your team. And, you know, we've gotten pretty deep on our bench so far this year, but even those guys haven't gotten the time that I wanted them to get before we stepped into region play. You know, they just didn't get the amount of time because, you know, we lost two or three games due to COVID and whatnot. And so those are big. Those are big games to miss when you're trying to get guys time and figure out, you know, are they going to be able to handle this level and how can they help you and how can they be an asset to your team. And so we're still have a lot of question marks on a lot of guys and where they fit in and what they do. And unfortunately, you know, we're kind of running out of time with those, you know, to answer those questions. So. Again, we're trying to figure a lot out in practice, you know, and right now, you know, matching up, you know, some of our younger guys against some of our older guys just to see how they handle those situations. And so practice time right now is so important to us because of the lack of games that we've had. And I've been a little frustrated with our practice time because I don't think, you know, it's different from years past. I mean, practice is always so important, but it's so much more important on a year like this where we're behind and missing games, and it was such a short preseason that every day in practice is so important. And, you know, I think we just need to have better practices. I think I'd feel a lot better if our practice time was better than it has been. And, again, you know, that comes on me as a coach. I've got to have better practices. I've got to have my guys' enthusiasm and effort better at practice, and that's my job. And you know, that's what I'm working on right now.
Well, Coach, I always appreciate the time. It's always fun to talk about the basketball team, and I look forward to the trip to Manti tomorrow. We'll see you at the game, and I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Well, it'll be good to have you back, Jordan, and I'll see you there tomorrow. Have safe travel, and again, I want to hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas, and I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Coach. We'll see you at the game tomorrow.
Thank you.
We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to the national side of things. We'll talk football. Big NFL weekend coming up, playoff picture. It's not very clear in the AFC or the NFC. We'll go over the scenarios and more when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAN. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
So now you open my eyes.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up in the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown!
Back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, approaching the biggest week of the year for the NFL up into the playoffs. I mean, week 17, it always gives us the mixed bag of nuts. We have some games that mean absolutely nothing. We have some games where a playoff spot is truly on the line. And with that this year, I think it's amplified, especially in the NFC, considering that there will be a team with a losing record in the playoffs coming out of the NFC East. We're going to talk about the playoff picture and more right now. Joining us over the phone, we have Vinny Rondinelli, typically joins us in studio for the Tuesday edition of the show, but joining us over the phone today. And Vinny, week 17, boy, it's a big week. Couple of playoff spots on the line in the AFC. I think, really, you could have a team sneak in and really cause some havoc, and it's probably the same conversation to be had in the NFC as well. Well, it's going to be a fun Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. It's been a crazy year with all that's going on. You know, the playoff race, it's interesting, Jordan. You know, it hasn't really changed that much in the last couple weeks. You haven't seen any major injuries or anybody fall off the cliff. In fact, the one team that everybody's worried about in Pittsburgh, they kind of maybe saved their momentum in their season the other day. So, interesting. This is a fun... This week means a lot with the new playoff format, so this is going to be interesting, going to be a fun Sunday.
Yeah, seeding alone is unique, I think, in the AFC because you're going to have a team sneak into the playoffs, and I shouldn't even say sneak in. You're going to have a team in the playoffs with at least 10 wins as the 7th seed. It's a little different when you look at it in the NFC because we could have the 6 and 7 seeds being 9 and 7. In the AFC, 6 and 7 could actually be 11 and 5, which is just bizarre to think about, knowing that Cleveland has to wrap up with the Steelers and you have the Ravens who are on the road against the Bengals, and then you have the Indianapolis Colts who you can't count out yet either. But I think a good place to start, Vinny, it is with Baltimore. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Greg Roman and the idea of him getting a head coaching job. That's out of the picture. Now, all of a sudden, you've seen that momentum pick up in Baltimore. They had that thrilling victory over the Cleveland Browns on national TV. They pick up a win over the Giants. You combine that with the Browns' loss to the Jets, and the Ravens are back into the playoff picture. They've won 4 consecutive games. And I'll be honest with you, Vinny, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about teams I wouldn't want to play in the AFC. I think we both agreed that it was Tennessee. I don't know if I'd want to play this Baltimore team because they seem to be peaking at the right time. And I think that's key when you look at the playoff picture, which teams are peaking correctly. Baltimore is one of them.
You're absolutely right, Jordan. You know, coaches talk about hitting your stride that fourth quarter of the season. You know, coaches always talk in quarters. And that fourth quarter, you want to be healthy. You want to have some momentum. And Baltimore has it right now. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, neither of us were really impressed by this team, thinking, well, maybe they're toast. They're done. It doesn't feel that way now. It feels like they've got a little momentum. And I think there really is a chip on their shoulder, Jordan. I really believe Lamar Jackson has something to prove, especially since, you know, they've been walloped. You know, they made the playoffs last year, and they've kind of been walloped. You know, they didn't look good. And so they're one and done. I mean, so I think you're right there. There's some momentum, and there's a little bit of, I don't want to play that team right now because they got a mojo. And, hey, Harbaugh's a great coach. John Harbaugh's been doing it a long time. He's adapted different quarterbacks, different styles. He started as a special teams coach. So I really like where they're going, and I think you got a great point. A couple weeks ago, we were touting the Tennessee Titans thinking, you know, we don't want to play that team. And the way they've been whooped the last couple weeks, you're thinking, well, maybe that has shifted to Baltimore. I think you make a great point.
All right, the Cleveland Browns are a team that seem to be heading in the opposite direction of the Baltimore Ravens, and there's another team or two in the NFC that we could put in the same category as Cleveland, teams that maybe have peaked too early. The Browns lost to a one-win team of the Jets. Now, there's a chance that this team doesn't even get into the playoffs, which is mind-boggling to me. I mean, they had like a 90-something percent chance, according to the FPI just a couple of weeks ago. They hold the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Colts. They can clinch a spot with a win over Pittsburgh at home, and the Steelers will not play Ben Roethlisberger. They can also clinch if the Colts lose, and the Titans losing their final game, and the Ravens and Colts and Dolphins all winning. So there's a lot of scenarios for Cleveland to get in. I still think they get in, but when you look at teams trending in the right direction, this is not one of them.
I agree with you 100%. You know, kudos to the Jets for playing hard with nothing to play for. But, you know, I know there were some issues with the receiver room and you know, the pandemic and all that. But, you know, if you're going to be if you want to be somebody and you want to change your culture, if you want to be the new Cleveland, you can't lose to the Jets. You can't do that. And they seem to be trending the wrong direction, like you say. Now, for Baltimore, this is going to be a tough game. You know, playing Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger or not, Pittsburgh's going to win with defense. And, you know, if Cleveland doesn't run the ball well, they're going to have they're going to have their hands full with the Steelers. So you're right. This is a team trending in the wrong direction. Now, kudos to Stefanski making a leap. He has seemed to have done a good job with Cleveland, you know, starting to turn that thing around. But then again, you can't lose that game to the Jets. I mean, Jordan, you want to be a playoff football team and be taken seriously. You can't lose those games. So that's an interesting game. That's going to be a very important game. And, you know, it's all in for Cleveland right now. They have got to win that football game.
They have to. And I think when you look at the team that's behind them trying to sneak into the playoffs as well, you have the Indianapolis Colts. And if you go back to Sunday, I mean, just a terrible terrible meltdown. And so while the Browns lose to the Jets, they got some major help in the form of a 14-0 rally for the Steelers into the fourth quarter. I feel bad for the Colts. I think this is one of the better teams in the NFL. It was another team that I would not want to play. They seem to be moving the ball effectively on the ground with Jonathan Taylor. He seemed to be hitting his stride, and Hines is one of the best receiving backs right now in the league. And Phillip Rivers, who wasn't outstanding on Sunday, didn't play terrible as well. To me, this is a disappointment. I would expect Indianapolis to be in and Cleveland to be fighting for their playoff lives, not the other way around. And that Steelers game, it's monumental because Indianapolis can go from not making the playoffs to where if they hold a 14 or 10-point fourth quarter lead against the Steelers, they may win the division.
Yeah, you're great point again, Jordan, as always. It was 24-7, I think, going into the third quarter, and you really had the feeling that game was over. Now, some defensive penalties really helped the Steelers get back into it. And, you know, and some deep throws by Roethlisberger, which we hadn't seen all year. But you really got to wonder about that. Is that, you know, the way that Indianapolis defense has played all year, is that a mirage? Is that something that, you know, we shouldn't expect to see again? Probably. That defense has been lights out for most of the year. So, interesting point, interesting game, because is that a fluke? Is that a fluke that they gave up big lead? You know, Pittsburgh's a good football team. They were on the road. But traditionally, you know, even though the game always changes and evolves, Jordan, if you can run the ball and play great defense, don't turn it over, you're going to be in every football game, you know. So, and that's kind of how they're built right now, the Colts. I like this team, but I'd have to think, as good as that defense has been all year, this had to be an anomaly.
I would think so. I would think so. Unfortunately, it may cost them. The Colts have an 80% chance of making the playoffs, according to the FPI, and I love the statistics because they vary so much week to week. Here's how the Colts get in. They need to beat Jacksonville, which should be a cinch at this point. Then they need a loss by either the Titans, Ravens, Browns, or Dolphins. A win and a Titans loss would give the Colts the AFC South title, so that's still possible. Sounds like a lot, but again, the Colts have about an 80% chance of getting in, and that's another team of the AFC I would not want to play if they get in.
You know, Jordan, and it's funny, in most years the seeding's different, you know, with the two byes and all that. Right now, just getting in, if you're not the number one seed, 2 through 7 are so close, does it really matter? You have to ask yourself, 2 through 7, you know, a home game without the fans, whether or not being a factor in a lot of these stadiums, is in a lot of cases, not all cases, but a lot of cases, is 2 through 7 much different. If you're in, you're in the tournament, and you got a chance to fight through it and make something happen. So it's going to be interesting, especially in the AFC, because there's so many good teams at the bottom. Like you said, you're going to have 10-win teams not make the playoffs. It's possible an 11-win team doesn't make the playoffs, depending on what happens there with them last, you know, four teams, being Baltimore and Miami and Cleveland and Indianapolis. So wouldn't that be something, you have an 11-win team not make the playoffs? If you're Buffalo, here's another scenario. What about Buffalo? I believe they're playing Miami this week, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yep.
So Buffalo's clinched. Do they worry about, you know, playing Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs? Do they rest their guys? Buffalo has some momentum. Would you risk losing that momentum for a franchise that's really haven't had much success in the last 20 years, honestly?
No, not from what I've seen from Buffalo. I mean, they seem to be peaking at the right moment. So, no, I would expect the Bills to rest. I would expect the Dolphins to pick up a win this Sunday and clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah, I would hope that Buffalo would go all in on this, because I think their last win, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 1995.
It's been a long time.
1995, so they've got to keep that momentum going. And they're playing Miami, who is fighting for their lives right now. And, you know, hey, they got a little help from Oakland the other night, Las Vegas, an old habit, Las Vegas. The Raiders kind of helped them out quite a bit there, and they stuck one out on the last play that got them right back into the playoff hunt, because with the loss there, you have to assume they're basically done.
Yeah, that's a fine point. That's how tight it is in the AFC. Now, again, we are talking about the playoff scenarios going into Week 17. We still have to talk about the NFC. Vinny, that's going to take us another 10, 12 minutes. Let's pause for a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk NFC playoff picture going into Week 17 when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back talking football here on Drive Time Sports, Football Tuesday, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. We just broke down the AFC playoff picture. We're going to flip sides now and talk NFC. All but the final two spots have been decided. We know that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers clinched a spot. Odds are they will be the number five seed. Moving in, we know the Seattle Seahawks have clinched the NFC West. We don't know what's going to happen in the NFC East, although I think we have a decent idea. But all the focus is going to be on 6, 7, and 8. Now, of course, 8 means you're outside of the playoffs looking in, but I believe there are 3 teams that could cause some problems at 6, 7, and 8. Which team's going to be left out? We have the Bears, the Rams, and the Cardinals. And Vinny, 3 weeks ago, it would have been insanity to suggest that the Los Angeles Rams would not be in the playoffs. They brutally defeated the New England Patriots. Rookie Cam Akers was fantastic, rushed for like 170-plus yards in that game. And it looked like this team was clicking on all cylinders. We know they have a special defense, but the offense was rolling. You and I talked about them being serious contenders if they could continue to run the football that effectively. Since that point, the Rams have lost Cam Akers. They've lost Daryl Henderson. So now they're down to Malcolm Brown, who is a third-down complimentary back at best. They've lost to the New York Jets, they've lost to the Seattle Seahawks, and now no Jared Goff, who's been atrocious the last 2 weeks. The Rams may actually be the most likely candidate to fall out of the playoffs, and that's just insanity to me. I can't believe we're talking about that.
Yeah, and you know, everybody knows that we're Chargers and Rams homers. That's our teams, have been our whole lives. And you know, your Rams, we were both excited about that on and off the air a couple weeks ago. And you know, we were looking at that team thinking, okay, they finally found their stride. They got the wide stretch run going, the boot action. They look incredible. And then they lay 2 eggs in a row, which is, you know, like you said, in your fourth quarter of your season, you want to be gaining momentum. You want to be gaining momentum. Well, you know, hey, they had that momentum, and then for 2 weeks they've just completely fell flat on their face, which is a shock. I mean, let's be honest, that's a shock. So scary. And now when you add into it that you're looking on a team that's going to be out of quarterback, whether he played good or not, that's your starting franchise quarterback who you paid a lot of money. He's not, it's, you know, we can pretty much feel safe in saying he's not playing Sunday. And so now you're playing against a desperate team, a division rival, and they're probably going to be with either a hurt quarterback or without their quarterback. And this game takes on huge implications in the NFC playoff. So, yeah, I'm with you. Shocking the way they've not showed up. Again, kudos to the Jets for playing hard. They've ruined, what, 2 seasons just about. And but, yeah, the Rams are a shocker, Jordan, a real disappointment. I didn't see that one coming.
There are 2 scenarios for the Rams to get in. They either beat the Cardinals at home or the Packers beat the Chicago Bears and the Rams get in. So, there's still a great chance that they qualify for the playoffs, but you really can't feel good about this team. I mean, again, I go back to what we were just talking about at the Cleveland Browns. It appears that they may have peaked too early. In this game last Sunday against Seattle, they probably should have won that game. Goff was horrible, and you knew late in the contest he just wasn't right after the thumb injury. Now he has to have surgery. So it's tough sledding for the Rams. The Cardinals, on the flip side, as you just mentioned, they'll go in with Kyler Murray, and it's very simple. They need to win. The Cardinals have to win this game. So if Murray can go at 60 or 70%, I have to believe that Cliff Kingsbury is going to roll the dice, because the backup option is going to be Chris Streveler. And you and I were going over Streveler's resume before we hopped on air today. Here's a guy that has had success in the CFL. He can run the football. He is dynamic. Went to Minnesota and South Dakota in college, but all in all, we don't have a large sample size. It's similar to John Wolford. We saw Wolford, the Rams starting quarterback, on Sunday. We saw him in the AAF, which was now defunct, and he was good in that league. But there's so many unknowns into this game. I probably favor the Rams in this contest, Vinny, simply because of that defense. That may end up being the determining factor in getting LA to the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, great point, Jordan. You really don't want to concern yourself with anybody else. So the time slots are the same. So these games are going simultaneously, and you really don't want to concern yourself with somebody else. What you want to do is take care of your business. You're in control of your destiny here, so you've got to win this football game. And that's what Sean McVay's got to say. Hey, guys, we're beat up. Hey, guys, for 2 weeks we stunk. That doesn't matter. We got four quarters right here to start our new season. This is what we worked for to get into the playoffs, and we have our chance. And he's got to do that this week. Well, this Sunday they've got to do that against Arizona. This is a division game, somebody they know very well. The game plan shouldn't be too intricate. You know, for the Rams, we both know, Jordan, hey, when they're running the football, they're real good. When they're not running the football, they're not real good, especially offensively. So that should be a simple game plan of let's do what we do best, take care of our business, and we don't have to worry about what's going on in the other games.
Let's talk about another team that has to win, and that's the Chicago Bears. I mean, if they get a victory over the Packers, there's a great chance they sneak in, right? They will get in, because if the Rams lose and the Bears win, it's going to be Arizona and Chicago. If the Bears lose, the Rams are going to be just fine there, and so the Bears have to win this game. And when you look at the playoff picture, you'd have told me a month and a half ago that Mitch Trubisky is going to lead the Chicago Bears to the playoffs. I would have laughed at you. And so they're on the brink of doing something that was just extremely unlikely. And their scenario, again, they have to beat the Packers or have the Cardinals lose to the Rams. That's how they get into the playoffs. It's a team that's won three consecutive games. They're at home, at Soldier Field. It seems unlikely, but in the same sense, it's a divisional game. And these are two teams that typically battle it out.
Great point. This is an awesome scenario. And again, one of the things we love about the NFL is stories that pop up, individual stories, players that seize their opportunity, players that miss their opportunity. And, you know, everybody had wrote Mr. Trubisky off. Hey, he's a bum. He's a bust. They should have taken, you know, Watson. They should have took Mahomes. They should have done this. They should have done that. Matt Nagy, he's an offensive genius. Well, you know, we've heard all these criticisms. Well, guess what? The longest standing rivalry in the NFL. It's going to be Green Bay, Chicago. And if Trubisky can beat most likely the league MVP, I think we can both agree Rodgers is probably the front runner to be the MVP of the league right now, and the number one seeded Packers. Now, what kind of story would that be, Jordan? Wouldn't that be great? Trubisky finds a way to get into the playoffs by beating the Packers and Aaron Rodgers to really salvage, I don't want to say his career, but it's almost looking that way, right? I mean, this is an amazing story. So for the Bears, defense has been a turnover-prone defense, you know, trying to force a turnover, get pressure. Chuck Pagano's done a solid job with that defense, Jordan. And if Trubisky, Jimmy Graham looks good lately, hey, if they're healthy and they're firing and they make this a real game, that's another great story going into the offseason, not only the playoffs, but the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I think this is another game that could set up one of the most intriguing storylines of the offseason. What do you do with Mitch Trubisky? Hard to move on from a guy that saved your season. I mean, when you go back and you look at where the Bears were at, let's just look over the past 3 weeks. A win over the Texans, a win over the Vikings, a win over the Jaguars. You say, yeah, it's not overly impressive. No, it's not, but this was a team that had just lost to the Detroit Lions prior to that. They had lost by 16 to Green Bay in Lambeau. So it has been an amazing turnaround. And if the Bears find a way to get in, I don't think Matt Nagy's on the hot seat. You and I have a lot of talk about coaches. I don't think even if they don't get in, he's on the hot seat or he's in danger of losing his job, at least for another season. But if he does manage to get this team in with all the adversity that they encountered, maybe it's one of the better feel-good stories of the season.
It is. It's a great story. And we love the NFL for that kind of stuff because, you know, it's so fun to talk about these things that, you know, stories coming through and all this stuff. It's awesome. You know, and the Bears, that would be a great story. You're right, Jordan. Mitch Trubisky. How much is Mitchell Trubisky, How much stuff has he taken lately? I mean, over the course of these last couple of years, he's been beat down pretty brutal. He's taken a lot of criticism. And for him to come back, that's awesome.
I agree. No, I agree. Vinny, before we close out the NFC playoff talk, we'll talk about the division, the NFC East. And a couple of weeks ago, you and I were both very high on the Washington football team. They were in the news yesterday by cutting Dwayne Haskins, another first-round quarterback pick that was not hit by this front office. They still have a chance to get in. In fact, right now, Washington is the number four seed. Here's how they do not get in. The Cowboys can win the NFC East if they beat the Giants, and Washington loses to the Eagles. The Giants get in if they win the they can win the NFC East if they beat the Cowboys and Washington loses to Philly. It's real simple. Washington wins, they're in. If not, that Cowboy-Giants game becomes a very interesting game to see who solidifies that final playoff spot. And again, time matters when we're taking a look at these games. We were just talking a few moments ago about when the Rams and the Cardinals game would play in conjunction with that Packers-Bears game. We're looking at the same kickoff in that contest. That will not be the case. Washington and Philly is the late-night game Sunday, which means the winner of the Dallas-New York game will absolutely be rooting for Philadelphia to top the Redskins. It's a fun scenario. I don't know how far either of these three teams we're talking about go, but nonetheless, it sets up for some interesting football.
You know, it's an interesting stat for one of our hometown guys, Alex Smith. Great story, once again, that never gets old, talking about Alex Smith's comeback. As a starter for the Washington Redskins, he's 10-5. And all the other starters combined it was so astronomical. I can't even tell you off the top of my head, Jordan. But here's a guy that's 10-5 as a starter. And it looks like he'll be playing, Haskins. Kudos to the Redskins for changing their culture and doing what they do and saying, hey, you don't fit here. Let's just end this right now. And right, wrong, or indifferent, you have to applaud the fact that they're going for it. And with Alex Smith, I like their chances. I think it will be the Washington football team. So this is an interesting game, and I love how you pointed that out. You have division rivals that don't like each other in Dallas and New York, Jason Garrett against his old team, Andy Dalton, a backup quarterback. There's so many stories in that alone. Then the late game will be the Redskins and the Eagles, football team and the Eagles, with Jalen Hurts playing. Doug Peterson, is he fighting for a job here? If Alex Smith and the Washington football team, they get in, do you really want to play them right now? I mean, they look pretty solid, and that front seven is dynamite. So this is an interesting ending to a season that's been so weird to begin with, and then when you add in the NFC East throughout the whole season, for it to end like this is pretty awesome.
Vinny, we'll end with this. Predictions. AFC, who gets left out of the playoff picture? NFC, who gets left out there?
I think the Bears and the Browns. I think two Midwest teams. I think they're the teams that are going to end up looking back, seeing missed opportunities and not seizing their opportunities and having to wait till last game. And I think it's the Browns and the Bears, Jordan.
The Bears have a tough task. They need to beat Green Bay. If they do that, they're going to get in, but I just don't see that happening. I agree with you, and I got to agree with Cleveland as well. And I think on Monday, unfairly, the story is going to be same old Browns. You and I will have that discussion when the time comes, but if they don't get in, that's going to be the headline come Monday morning. It's going to be the same old Browns if they find a way to not get into the playoffs. Vinny Rondinelli joining us here on Drive Time Sports Football Tuesday over the phone today. Vinny, always great to get back with you. We'll see you in the studio next week.
Absolutely. Always great to talk to you, Jordan.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. We'll talk Major League Baseball. We'll talk Vinny's San Diego Padres. They've been making some moves. That'll be on tap for the show tomorrow. Until then, be safe. We are out.